Well, amen. This is looking better. Good to see all these faces this morning. Did you know heaven has a Valentine's Day? It's called Easter. Amen. That's when God demonstrated His love to the world, and especially to you and I, because we walk in that love. Amen. So I love Easter. It's always such a powerful time of the year and a powerful time in the churches around the world. So praise God for His love. Amen. All right. Okay, well, Saturday morning, if you get my little message, I ask you a question to ponder before today. And maybe some of y'all are looking for the answer. I don't know. But I ask you, do you feel like you're waiting for something, but you don't know what it is? In fact, I told my wife that one time. I said, it's just like I'm waiting for something, but I don't know what it is. And eventually, I found out what it was. So this morning, just listen, we're going to talk about waiting. And waiting has become a mindset in the church. It was adopted years ago, but it doesn't line up with what the Word really intended about waiting. And the bad thing about this mindset is that people think that it's the thing to do or the correct thing to do. And we need to correct it. We need to look at it and see what we need to do to change it back to the way that God intended for it to be. So the word I'm talking about is waiting, or to wait. And this word is used in the Gospels in reference to waiting on the kingdom of God. But just for a minute, stop and think, how much time do you spend, you know, knowing that you're thinking and you're waiting about the kingdom of God? You know, the older I get, the more I think about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. I'm a whole lot closer to it than I was 72 years ago. But I also have learned how to wait, because that kingdom is in me. It's already here. What I'm waiting for, I guess, more than anything, is the transition from this body and this life to that life. Or I'm waiting for the return of Jesus, whichever comes first. I don't really care. I'm just going to be in on the first boatload. Amen? All right, praise God. But only once is it used in reference to waiting on the return of the Master. Now, the word wait means to look for, anticipating a favorable reception, and to wait for with confident expectation. Confident expectation. So let's look this morning at Luke chapter 12. We're going to use a little bit of scripture this morning, more than usual probably. And let's see how it's used in context in the word. We're looking at the word wait. So in Luke chapter 12, verse 36, Mike, could you come turn these lights on up, please? The overheads. In verse 36 it says, "And you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, and that when he comes and knocks, that you be ready to open the door immediately." Thank you. "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, will find watching." And I looked up that word because actually in the Greek, it also means waiting. And verily I say unto you that he will prepare himself and make you sit down at the table, and he will come and serve you. Think about that. Jesus is going to come and serve you. Amen? Praise God. That'd be an exciting time. Now, these two verses, though, are referring to the return of Jesus. And there's a lifestyle or a ministry of waiting that is expected of each one of us as we belong to him. And so he expects us to be waiting for him. And there is that anticipation, that patience of knowing that when he comes, that his reception is going to be very favorable for the one that is waiting. Now, much of the church has slipped into a form of waiting for the return of Jesus, but it's not the same as the scripture has described in the verses we just read. The church, and let me tell you, I'm just as guilty of this as anybody, but the church sits back and waits. We sit back and we wait. And that's all we want to do. We don't want to labor for the kingdom. Don't want to pray all the time when we should. We sure don't want to get out and have to minister. And we just sit around and wait for Jesus' return, which is not bad. I mean, he's asked us to do that. But we're going to find out here in a minute that he's also asked us to do something else while we're waiting. Amen. There's, in the body of Christ, what I see in this church and other churches that I've been in, and you have to look at these things as the overall church. I mean, I don't like just picking on our church, but this is prevalent in churches all over the world. There's really not that much compassion for the lost or the sick and the dying. We just don't see that like it should be. There's no compassion for the hungry, for the thirsty, are for those that need to be clothed. There's no compassion for those that are in prison. And no form of ministry is being offered by the majority of the church because they have fallen into the place of just waiting. You see what I'm talking about? How many of you begin a new week thinking, I'm going to find somebody to minister to this week? And if you're not, you're missing out. If you tell God, Lord, bring one, run one by me, Lord, and I'll get them. Well, God will do that. He'll bring one to you. And if you're looking for more, he'll bring all you can handle. But you've got to show God that you're ready, that you're willing and you're able to minister to these people that he... And you see, this is what Jesus is talking about when it comes to this waiting thing. We basically, we don't like to use the word devil, but we basically struck a deal with the devil. You leave us alone and we'll leave you alone. Because I can tell you right now, the enemy does not want us waiting and ministering to people that come our way. And so we've compromised the truth of the Word of God, and we have to come back to the place of laying the compromise down and picking up the reality of the truth of God's Word. I want to make you a little challenge here this morning just to, so you can test yourself. Right now, here in church, to yourself, you make a commitment to God that you're going to help one person this week. Does it make any difference what you're going to do? Just make up your mind you're going to do that. Well, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. You know, I don't know what they need or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. I know that Colleen, and she's not in here, but her and I both, I mean, We've just picked out a person in the grocery store. And when they check out, we'll just tell them, we're going to pay for that. And it blows their mind. And you don't have to pick the person that has $189 worth of grocery in their cart. Usually it's the person that only has a little stuff is buying a little stuff because that's all the money they have. So I like to pick those, and well, I'll pick whatever God shows me, but you know, I know that I'm helping those people. And when I find one that gets up there to pay their money and they count out, you know, the bills and those coins and even down to multiple pennies, and they get to the end and they don't have enough. Those are the ones that are going to be most appreciative of you stepping out and saying, let me handle that. And it gives you an opportunity sometimes to talk to them. But other times you can see the gratitude on their face, but yet at the same time they've got that puzzled look. Well, why are you doing that? It's like people need an explanation because you're being nice to them. Well, that shouldn't be. You know, if anybody in this church or if you know anybody wants to come by and deposit $100,000 in my checking account, I'll gladly receive it. I'll rejoice. And if you want to dance around and rejoice, I'll dance with you. Amen. And I think by setting an example to people when we help them, that helps them overcome and it opens their heart to hearing the Word of God about Jesus and the gospel. So anyway, back to what Jesus is trying to get across to the disciples here and what he's trying to get across to us. This ministry of waiting is working in the kingdom of God, looking for his return, and one ear listening for his knock upon the door. You're going to know when he steps out and breaks through heaven. You're going to have that split second knowledge of knowing, here he comes. Praise God. And so that's why it's important that not only are we working and waiting, but we're listening as well. The Bible uses the term watching, but we're listening to hear that suddenness that's going to come, and because we're ready. Now, the perfect picture of what I'm talking about here is found over in Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. So let's turn over there and look at this for a minute. Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. Well, let me give you a little background here real quick. The wall had been torn down, and there was no protection for the city of Jerusalem and the temple. And so Nehemiah was given this job, if you want to call it in simple language, that he was to rebuild the wall. And he knew that that was his job, and so he got busy trying to do it. And so here we are, they're out there working on it, and it said, it came to pass that time forward that one half of my servants worked, and the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the armor, and the leaders stood behind all of the house of Judah. Now, the reason they're having to hold all of these instruments of war is because the enemy is out there as well that does not want this wall replaced. They tore it down, and they sure don't want to see it rebuilt. And so these guys that are working with Nehemiah, they're having to work and defend themselves at the same time. And that's what verse 17 is all about. It says, those who built the wall and those who bore burdens loaded themselves so that everyone worked with one hand and held a weapon in the other hand. Amen? Do you see that? And that's why God wants us to wait on one side, but at the same time minister to people out here who are also God's interest in this world that he loves. And so we're supposed to be doing both of these things at the same time, not just one or the other. And most Christians today, if they have to pick one, they're going to pick the waiting. So we need to wake up and begin to see what God is trying to teach us. These people are not waiting for the return of the Lord. They're not waiting. I mean, they're waiting for an attack of the enemy. But the true picture here that I want us to see is that their hearts are fixed on waiting while they are accomplishing the work that God gave them. And that really has not changed from the old covenant to the new covenant. And that's why Jesus brings this up. Now, back in Luke 12, Jesus addresses some issues that are a problem with all of us at one time or another. And he talks about these problems because they all have the same connection with waiting. We are doing a form of waiting, but we're doing it wrong. And so we're going to look at three things that we wait for that we shouldn't be waiting for. The first thing is, why are we always waiting for provision? Why are we always waiting for provision? Well, let's look at Luke chapter 12, verse 29 and 30. Luke 12, 29 and 30. And we all know this. If you've been in church any part of your life, you've heard this before. And seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Also includes the clothes that you wear. And don't allow doubt to enter into your heart. For all of these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you have need of these things. Now, we sit around waiting on God to provide things. You pray for it, yes, but then you sit around and wait for it. Well, what's wrong with putting your petitions at the feet of God and then going on to work? Why is it that we think we have to sit back and wait till God meets our need before we can do anything? You see, waiting occupies our thinking and our time for working. And we become troubled when things don't show up in the right time frame that we thought it should. How many times have you thought God disappointed you because he didn't give you something right when you wanted it? Well, let me tell you, God's more apt at understanding your real need and the time that you need it than you are. And we all are. So what did Jesus say about this kind of waiting? Well, let's look at Luke 12, verse 22. Jesus said, take no thought for your life. Don't even think about it. Take no thought about your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall wear. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than clothes. My translation of that is, don't worry. Keep working. Just simply be faithful to God to serve him, and he'll give you what you need at the time that you need it. And God has never failed to give you what you need at the time he thinks you need it. You've been disappointed many times because it didn't work out on your clock. Paul said it this way in Philippians 4:19. He said, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Folks, that's a promise. You can grab that thing, put it up next to your heart, and stand. that don't stand still. When I say stand, you stand in faith and you go on working, doing the work of the kingdom of God. And God's going to provide it. And the key to this waiting is to mix waiting with faith. You see, if I tell God I need something and I need it right this minute, that's not faith. But when I tell God, Lord, I need this. Maybe it's some money that you're going to need to pay off a debt that's coming up. And you say, God, I need this. But say it from the perspective of faith. Lord, I'm going to trust you to meet my need. I have this bill coming due. I have no way to pay it, and I'm just simply going to trust you. And then go on about your business. And I promise you, God will meet that need. Amen. And I couldn't even number the times that God has done that in my life. He's always faithful. There was back in the 1800s, there was a pastor who God had called to build an orphanage. And so he consented to this, and he knew that it was going to be a hard thing because it was going to take a lot of money to run an orphanage. And so he went ahead and agreed with God and opened up the orphanage. And the orphanage grew and grew and grew until finally, at one point in time, he was ministering to 300 children. And he writes in, it was an autobiography, somebody else had written it for him, but he writes in there, he said, there were many a morning when all 300 of these kids would come into the dining hall and sit down waiting to eat breakfast, yet there was no food in the pantry. And he would go before God and he'd say, Lord, I've got 300 children going to be here in a few minutes. And we don't have any food. We've not any money to be able to buy the food. So, Lord, I'm trusting you to provide. And when he would pray that prayer, you know what he would do? He would go on about his business, taking care of the orphanage. And he said before he'd even get started, there would be somebody or people, more than one, would knock on the door. So I was baking bread this morning. God told me that you needed some. So here I am, bringing you a lot of bread. Same with milk. Same with food. You know, these people would just hear God and they'd do what God said. And he ran that orphanage like that for many a year, ministering to these children that had no parents. And the bottom line was he was faithful. He would wait, yes, but he was faithful in trusting God, and every need was met. And so, you know, this is a true ministry of waiting. No concern, he said, I never was worried about God failing me. And we need to pick up that same attitude. Father, I'm not worried about you not meeting my needs. I got your promise, and that's all I need. Amen? So, no concern, just waiting and believing God by faith. Waiting. Let's look at the second one. Why are we waiting to get enough earthly treasure before we start working in the kingdom of God? I've had people tell me that. You know, well, when I get my life straightened out, you know, when I've got this good job and I'm making money and I'm able to take care of my family, then I can probably do something for God. Totally backwards. If you need help taking care of your family, the first step you should take is to tell God, I'm ready where you want me to go. And Lord, while I'm out there, I'm going to trust you to take care of my family. And what do you think God's going to do? He's going to take care of your family. Because you see, we got it in the correct order. Right now, everything is out of order in a lot of people's lives. And so we're always waiting on something to come in, provision, money, whatever. We're always waiting on it. Time to quit waiting and just trust God and be on about the Father's business. In fact, that's what Jesus said. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added to you." If you're out here working in the kingdom, everything you have need of is going to come your way because you have God's promise. And eternal life is not about things or treasures on this earth. Yet so many of us think that way. You know, well, Pastor, you know, I've got to work to put stuff away in case something happens to me that I can take care of my family. Listen, God is more capable of taking care of your family after you leave this earth than you are. Because you don't know what your family might encounter. God knows. And if you're trusting God in the same direction, if your family is going to trust God, every need they have is going to be met. Amen. Now you say, well, Pastor, what about life insurance? I've got life insurance. I think God gives us wisdom in things like that. And we need to do what God provides. I'd love to have a $10 million life insurance, you know, to leave my family if something happened to me. But I don't have that much. And yet what I have, I'm confident that God's going to take care of them, you know. And so I really don't worry about it. I just move on and do what God has put me here to do. So you see, God's plan has already been put into force or action. He's provided for the plan. He knows what you're going to need. That's what I love about God. He knows what you're going to need a year from now. You hadn't even got far yet, but he already knows, and he's already made provision for you. If you're trusting him. And so it's time for us to see the power of God move in our lives in this great and awesome way in which he moves. Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. He says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be what? Rich." And that's not just rich in you know, worldly things, but you're going to be rich in his love. You're going to be rich in his kingdom provisions, okay? So trust him. Trust him. The third thing is, why are we always waiting on not working? We're waiting, but we're not working. Because, again, we haven't really tried to understand the scripture. Let's look at Luke chapter 12, verse 37. This is on down from where we were reading a while ago. Jesus said, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, will find watching." Watching. Waiting is a ministry. And we're always to have a conscious spirit of waiting on his return. But what about the working? Pastor, you've been talking about the working. Well, go on down to verse 43. "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find him doing." Doing what? Working. Remember the deal about the talents? Talking about the master gave three of his slaves, or whatever you want, servants. He gave one 10, one 5, and one just one. Well, what did they do? Did they wait? Two of them didn't. One did. And so these other two, they got busy knowing that their master was going to come back. They got busy and earned interest on the talents they had. And so when the master came back, number one doubled his talents. Number two doubled his talents. But number three, he didn't want to do any work anyway, so he buries it. And then when the master comes back, he gives him back the one that he had given. And guess what? The master got mad about that. Called him lazy. Wouldn't that be terrible to finally get in Jesus' presence and he look at you and call you lazy? Wouldn't be good. James put it this way. Be ye doers of the word and not just hearers only. Amen. Be ye doers of the word and not just hearers, because if you're just going to sit around and listen, then there's a penalty that's going to come. And the penalty is deceiving your own self. If you're not going to do, if you're not going to just sit around and wait, then you're deceiving yourself. So that kind of should make us want to do a little work. Okay? So I want you to try this week and see what happens. Just one. I mean, if you want to try 100, that's great. If we have to expand this building, we'll expand the building or build a new one, something. But these are opportunities for bringing people into the kingdom. And I always talk to God about finances. God has blessed us financially, personally. And God has blessed this church financially. But we are in a situation where things have increased. And so our rent has, you know, we have had a 60% increase in our rent. So that means that we're going to need more provision. And so I was talking to God about that. And you know what he told me? I mean, I heard it just as clear as I've heard everything this morning. He said, bring the people in. Bring the people in. You see, that's what it's all about. Church is not about it, us just sitting here listening and not doing the word. Church is not just about waiting on Jesus to return. We could do that at home. We don't, wouldn't need a church. But the purpose of the church is to bring people out from out there into here and teach them how to walk in the kingdom. And if we're not going to do that, then we don't need a church. Amen? No, that's kind of weak. All right. So, you know, we need to kind of wake up. You see, hearing only leads to deception. 1 John 3:18 says this. It says, little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Okay? Is that clear enough? I mean, how many times have we looked at it? 4 or 5 times. It all says the same thing. I think Jesus wants to get a word across to us this morning. And we need to hear it. And then we need to do it. Hearing in action is what the Christian does when he sows into the kingdom. Sowing into the kingdom is out there putting the seed out in the hearts of people and then watching the harvest come. Again, we don't go plant the seed and then come back to church and sit down and don't do anything. Now, while the seed is maturing, while it's growing, we're planting other seed and we're preparing for the harvest, because there's going to be a harvest. So there's always something to do in church. The question is, are you ready to get up and start doing it? Now, there you went and ruined a perfect sermon, Pastor. I was all getting encouraged, and now you want me to get up and go do something. We can do it. We can do it. And I don't know what your individual plan is, because you need to check with God on that. But you get with God and ask God, what is it you want me to do? I'm willing. I've been waiting all this 100 years, but I'm ready to get out there and do something. And God's going to show you exactly what you need to do. Try the example I gave you this week and see what happens. Doesn't necessarily have to be food. See somebody filling up with gas, pay for their gas. I think that's why God brought the price down, so that you wouldn't spend so much right now. But it's the doing. Amen. It's in the doing. She finally got it, huh? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. The ministry of waiting affects all of us. Nobody's left out. God didn't leave anybody out on that one. So we can't say, well, I haven't heard God on that, because you have today. And now you need to go do it. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we just give you praise and thank you for the power of your word. Father, Jesus has given us examples of those who hear the word and how they receive it. But Father, we want to be people who hear it, receive it gladly, and then go put it to work. For Father, any other way leads to destruction, and we don't want that pathway. So Father, just come and encourage us this week. Lord, as we meet with you, Father, just open the doors to minister to people. And Father, we're going to just praise you and thank you for everything that you're going to do. And Father, I pray for peace to just fill the hearts of every person in this room. I don't want anybody walking out of this room feeling guilty or under duress because they think that that's just not right. Father, we want to trust you instead. And walk and be fruitful in your kingdom, O God. So Lord, I bless every one of these adults in this room right now. Even the young people, Lord, they have the same opportunity as the adults. So, Lord, let us get busy and start working. And, Father, we give you all of the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.